From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fourth day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. We'll check in on Washington, D.C. and shutdown fever and what it might mean or might not mean for the agricultural or farm bills that have been trying to make their way through Washington, D.C. for the last 3 years at this point. And then as we close out our program, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Urbana-Champaign at the Prairie Research Institute. And it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check now the numbers as they settled up in Chicago from the CME Group for the afternoon. The nearby corn futures finished the December contract at 4.43 1/4. That was up 4 cents on the afternoon. The March at 4.56, 4 higher, and the May at 4.64 1/2, up 4 1/4. July corn 4.71 3/4, up 4 1/4. And December of next year, $4.85 for the new crop, up 4 1/4 cents as well. Soy complex now, soybean futures, November contract, $12.95, 6 3/4 higher. The January at $12.95 as well. It was up 6. March at 12.79 1/4, up 8 1/2, and the May futures at 12.57 3/4, up 7 1/4 for the day. July contract, 12.53 1/4, 8 1/4 higher, and the September, rather, November beans at $11.74 1/4, 4 1/2 cents higher. Bean meal futures finished the October at $431.30, up $3.50, and the bean oil at $39.99, 2 cents lower for the afternoon. Wheat futures finished the July contract in the soft red at $6.93 3/4, up 2 1/4, and the hard red at $7.59 3/4 for the July, up 4 1/2 cents. Live cattle futures at the CME Group, October at 128 1/2, 62 1/2 higher. December at 132 42 1/2, up 65. October feeders at $164.45, up 35 cents. November at $165.95, 32 1/2 higher. And the lean hogs for the day at $91.85 finished 55 cents higher on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, November contract, $103.62 a barrel, up 31 cents. The RBOB gasoline at 260 1/2. That's a 260 5/10 cents, that is. That's 3 3/10 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $1.67 9/10, up 7 1/10 cents. Gas futures for the natural at 3.51 3/10, a penny and 4 cents higher. And diesel fuel at $3 even. That's just about 3 1/10 cents lower for the day. A gold futures finished at $1,309.70, down $7.70, and the U.S. dollar trading 80.11. That's down, or rather up, 0.36 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 86 degrees on a south wind at about 15 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 22. We are at 86 degrees outside the studios here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois at the moment. Our rainstorm storm total, by the way, overnight was 3 1/10 inches, and at home in Mahomet, I got about 4 1/10 inches last night. So that must be about what we got across the area. We'll find out more later when we talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy otherwise, a low of 67. South winds this evening at 9 to 11, gusting all the way to 15. And then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely. Those will come after 1 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy and a high of 82 degrees. The chance of rainfall tomorrow set at 60%. Those showers will continue right into Saturday evening, into about 1 a.m., and then a chance of showers thereafter, but not much. Mostly cloudy and a low of 50. Chance of showers and rainfall tomorrow evening, Saturday night, at 70%. Mostly sunny on Sunday and a high of 63 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
On this fourth day of October, let's check the futures markets and how they finish trading for the week with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
No, it's a beautiful and very warm day here, but it's really nice outside. Your area is a little bit more humid, I take it.
Yeah, warm and humid with some pretty substantial thunderstorms coming in the overnight, so we'll probably get another inch of rain here after getting probably about a half to three-quarters of an inch earlier this week. So haven't had a lot of work done out in the fields this week at all.
No, farmers have been busy here in the field, but a lot of work would be, oh, that'd be overstating it. There are some people that are very busy, but most people that probably are not, at least yet. Although I'm thinking next week, by the end of next week, things will really pick up, and we'll be in the middle of the gut slot of harvest by then. How about out there?
Well, it sounds like with the new noon models coming out and the way they're placing Tropical Storm Karen, you may have, in your area especially, as you move up towards the Ohio River Valley, you may have quite a bit more precipitation than what maybe the morning models were expecting, because it did look like several stronger bands of rain going through Illinois and Indiana and Ohio as a result of this tropical storm hitting landfall on Saturday. So 2 inches of rain wouldn't be uncommon in central Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio in certain areas, it looks like, on the updated model. So as for us, I think that the tropical storm's actually pulling moisture away from us. So we're kind of in between the snowstorm in South Dakota and Nebraska and the tropical storm Karen. So we're kind of in a dry slot, unfortunately. But like I said, we got some rains earlier this week, and if we get another inch, that'll be plenty for now.
There's a sentence not uttered often. We are between the snowstorm and the tropical storm.
That was really something to talk about earlier this week, because they weren't sure if the snowstorm in South Dakota would get east of the Missouri River where the corn and bean ground is. And, you know, what you talk about a lot on the panel meetings is about how big of a state South Dakota is for corn and even bean acres. And this year, USDA has actually got a record harvested acreage amount of 4.6 million acres for South Dakota beans. So earlier this week, especially yesterday, it was a big question mark as far as whether this stuff would go east of Rapid City and really mess with the corn and bean belt in that area.
Yeah, number six in corn production behind Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana, but it's right up there.
Yeah.
So it's quite the state. Hey, I have another question. When you have traveled around out there and talked to farmers not only there but across the Midwest, we're late now, and we knew we were going to be late, but do they have concerns about standability for the crop?
They do, definitely west of the Mississippi, I think, Todd. I think that's where the problems with getting enough nitrogen in the corn and getting the beans tall enough and bushy enough and canopied enough and healthy enough to withstand inclement weather is probably the greatest. And, in fact, there's a fellow from Iowa coming in this afternoon after I get done with the radio, and he's just coming back from his farm in southwestern Iowa, and we'll get to talk a little bit more about what's happening there. But my sense is they have a lot bigger concerns as you get out into this neck of the woods. And I think that makes sense, too, from a standpoint of how this crop has come along this year with very big extremes out in this part of the country as opposed to, you know, a much better weather pattern from Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio.
Monday, we will not get reports from the United States Department of Agriculture, and officially, I have word from the USDA that next week we won't have reports on Friday, but that word said if we're still shut down, and I was, and that official word seemed kind of odd to me. I thought, well, that sounds straightforward. What if we open up sometime during the week?
It's officially unofficial.
Dave called me earlier in the day and said, you know, the government numbers aren't operational. Do we have another number or a way to get hold of somebody at USDA? And I had to do some tracking down, and sure enough, we found one, and we were able to get hold of the communications director out there. And No reports Friday next week, but she didn't. I did follow up. I said, well, what if you open? What happens? And I haven't heard. We'll find out. But I suppose one way or the other, you as a broker have to deal with it in both terms. And I don't know which uncertainty is worse for you at this point, not knowing whether that is coming or just not having it. Which one?
Yeah, I haven't made up my mind yet, except from a standpoint of the government shutdown as a whole and whether we take this into mid-October and past mid-October or not. And I don't think the likelihood's very high. In fact, a lot of people on the financial news networks are putting the odds at an actual default at zero, and I don't have any argument with that in terms of the goal of the people in Washington. But a lot of stupid things happen, and a lot of mistakes can get made when you run things up against the wire. And I've already seen where some of the major banks here in this country are hoarding or putting away 20% to 30% more cash than they normally do in case this goes on and depositors want to pull money out of their banking accounts and their savings account. But as far as a corn and bean report goes, you know, the October report, usually you get a better sense for numbers. But we've not only got acres that are still wide open, we've got yield, which is still wide open, we've got carry-in from last year, which is still wide open thanks to the grain stocks report, mm-hmm. and we've got the demand that is still wide open. In fact, the United Nations FAO people came out with their monthly report, and it kind of highlights what the trade is coming to understand about the wheat market. Major exporters in the world, stocks-to-use ratios, will drop versus last year to about 12.6%, and that's historically very, very tight, and that number actually could tighten more depending on how our weather is and how Australia's weather is, in Argentina for that matter, in the coming weeks. And so I think, you know, at a time where you would typically want to see and have more certainty in the markets, we continue to get more uncertainty. So for me, yeah, they'll probably still publish the pre-trade guesses, and I sent mine up to the news wires last night. We'll probably trade off of that and trade off of weather and trade off of Stats Canada and things like that and find whatever we can to trade off of other than the USDA.
Mm-hmm. Well, that will happen because the board will be open and trade will take place. And, of course, corn and beans are coming out of the field and making their way into the grain elevator and grain flow supply system. So the chain is getting full again, or will be shortly, and that's been having an impact on bases around the country as well.
Yeah, but it's interesting because just this afternoon I had two separate clients call me in Western Indiana and let me know that there was some quick ship bids again at only three under for a train heading to the southeast poultry markets, and that suggests to me that your demand, A, is there, and so that you can look forward to better demand in the corn at these price levels, and B, it's cheap enough at the Gulf that we don't need to worry about corn being imported, and you've still got problems with getting corn sourced and meal sourced out of Argentina and Brazil. And, you know, that's one of the big reasons why the wheat was able to hold on to its gains and why Kansas City wheat's up about 10% off of its lows now. And it's because Brazil continues to buy U.S. hard red wheat. So I think there's some things going on that maybe aren't reported as much or are kind of, you know, in and out of the market as far as short-term features and fundamentals that are actually pretty supportive.
Your confidence in the corn market's ability to hold neutral or slide higher, feeling better this week than they have been the last couple?
Yeah, obviously because the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index is holding in there, thanks in great part to the wheat market. I think, you know, one thing that I keep talking to clients about is that back in 2010, when our average price was just over $5, USDA had exports at 1.8 billion bushels, total demand at 13 billion bushels. I see no reason why we should have 1.2 billion bushels in our current export number for 13-14 because we've never been below 1.5 billion except the 2 years of 2012 and 1993, those major short crop years, and that goes all the way back to 85. So when I look at the demand side of the equation, I still think, Todd, there's 300 to 500 million bushels of demand out there sitting that will come in and erode that extra supply that maybe the USDA will want to take the yield up, or maybe they won't want to take harvested acres down. Who knows what they'll want to do.
Okay, anything on the livestock for us today?
Well, yeah, the big thing about the livestock is they really weathered a very negative hogs and pigs report last week, and I think although we may have another week of strength because of this this backing up and this movement forward in the futures market, this strength in the futures market, I do think livestock hedgers probably need to be aware of the fact that if the government shutdown goes on, then we probably will start to see a little bit weaker retail market start to seep into the trade. So as you get those deferred hogs up into the low to mid-90s, might be a good place to get some hedges in.
Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. Don't forget, we'll post our program called Commodity Week to the website soon by about 5 o'clock this evening. Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. Our guest this week is John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record just a bit early today, 4 o'clock, so that I can head to Olympia for a football game. Yes, that was my boy last week. I didn't say anything about it on the air. That was on Channel 3 as the play of the week. Hopefully tonight we'll get a few more plays. Anyway, we'll be in Olympia about 7 o'clock tonight over by Stanford. It'll be a great game. I'm looking forward to that. But more importantly for you, Commodity Week recorded at 4 o'clock will be up probably by, I don't know, 5 o'clock or so this evening if you want to hit it, up on willag.org. Our guest this week is John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. Our air times on the home station are 6 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Central Time, USA, right here on WILL AM 580 each and every Saturday. You can always, of course, find Commodity Week at willag.org or just follow me at Commodity Week on Twitter. I'll let you know when the program is produced and up on the website to be heard. Now, up next, you know, is the Farm Bill becoming a bargaining chip in Washington shutdown politics? Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid mentioned at least twice this week the possibility of including agriculture or the Farm Bill in a shutdown-ending grand bargain. Reid wrote House Speaker Boehner to end the shutdown and set up a House-Senate conference.
You and your colleagues have repeatedly cited these fiscal issues as the things on which we need to work. This conference would be an appropriate place to have these discussions where participants could raise whatever proposals, tax reform, health care, agriculture.
The ag mention comes as the House GOP has yet to appoint Farm Bill conferees even after reassembling the pieces of the House Farm Bill. Here's Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley on the difficulty in getting any negotiators appointed.
I think it's not so much related to the Farm Bill as probably somebody trying to use going to conference leverage to get something else.
Maybe $39 billion in 10-year food stamp cuts House Republicans are trying to win versus the Senate's $4 billion. National Farmers Union's Chandler Gould says the House GOP could have appointed Farm Bill negotiators at any time, but they just have not.
There is nothing preventing the House of Representatives right now from appointing conferees to the Farm Bill and moving forward on a five-year comprehensive bill. Now, with this government shutdown and debt limit that is coming up, I could see where the Republicans are trying to use it as a strategy to how many different issues can we let build up to leverage against the debt ceiling and reopening the government.
Gould has not heard the GOP voice that strategy directly, but there's no mistaking the logic that with all the demands swirling around the shutdown, the Farm Bill may have already become another hostage in Washington's shutdown politics. Our thanks go to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, or NAFB, for those audio cuts, including these that come from Tony Purcell of the Texas State Networks. He says farmers who use natural gas for heat and running irrigation pumps will get a break this fall and winter. The American Gas Association policy analyst Bruce McDowell says the supply side looks good for natural gas.
Now we have ample supply of gas, and we can find it and get it out of the ground more efficiently than we did, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
McDowell says that is impacting prices.
Prices are low, among the lowest they've been in decades. This is going to help people when it comes time to pay their gas bill.
But McDowell says there are some variables to keep tabs of.
Temperature is always the wild card. Significant cold snap will temporarily cause an increase in natural gas prices.
Texas leads the nation in natural gas production, holding 23% of the nation's natural gas reserves.
Toyota.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Time to check the cash grain market for this Friday afternoon. Ben Pruce on the phone line from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Afternoon, Todd.
Are you moving there and much corn coming in?
Yes. It's a slow and steady harvest. Hasn't really officially started, but guys are really just kind of starting to poke their heads in, and they're kind of surprised by the actual moistures coming out, corn and beans. In fact, I just got out of combine. A guy running a 16-row and a 12-row head, and corn 17% right now.
Oh, so, holy smoke. So yeah, ready to go.
We have dropped almost 10 points of moisture here on certain fields in about a week and a half.
And what are your yields looking like as they pull the end rows off?
Between corn and beans, corn especially, everybody's using the phrase better than I expected. don't let the Chicago board dictate or hear this call, but yeah.
too late, my friend.
Right.
Better than expected puts you in what's average for your area?
I want to say I'll say anywhere from mid-40s to a couple guys have been pulling some 70s out, and on the corn, 150 to 230.
All right, and so what are your expectations for basis in the area? You've got 5 ethanol plants that you feed.
Correct. We are still showing a pretty strong old crop/new crop basis. The demand for dry corn is rocketing, and we've got this weather pattern here, and we expect that to continue for maybe another week or so. One of the local ones, Valero and Hartley, they're still 20 over. Basis has begun to fade, and it's going to continue to fade as we progress here. And I would say we'd be at our standard new crop bids here within the next 2 weeks.
And then for your soybeans, where do they go, and what do your bids look like there?
On soybeans, we actually have an AGP up here and right. CHS in Fairmont, Minnesota. And those premiums, those have really backed off here. But for quick ship delivery, they're showing a 15 over the nose.
So you're still on quick ships for both corn and soybeans, mostly because right. You really haven't started anything to speak of. Would you be 1%, 2%, 5% done on either crop?
I would say maybe 5 on the beans, and guys are just starting to grease the corn head. So, I mean, it's harvest really hasn't really started, but we specifically here at the Andersons and Everly, we've been offering an early drying special on some corn, just a penny a point. And guys are, for sake of capturing these quick ship premiums, guys are getting out there and getting after it.
But am I right that most guys have their own dryers up there as well, too?
I would say it's about 60% don't, 40 do. In the last couple, 3 years, we've seen a ton of dryers and grain storage been put in place on the farm.
Okay, and finally, your bids for the day.
433 cash corn, 1260 cash beans.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Pruce. He's with the Andersons right there at their Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us on a Friday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market in just a couple of minutes. I'll be back. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Taco Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1582, the day following October 4th became October 15th in most European countries as the Gregorian calendar was adopted. The old Julian calendar lived on in Britain and its colonies until 1752, in Japan until 1873, in China until 1912, in Russia until 1918, in Greece until 1923, and in Turkey until 1925. In 1879, Edward Murray East was born. An American biologist and chemist, he helped with the development of hybrid corn. Specifically, he applied inbred strain breeding to improve seed production. He analyzed the protein and fat content of corn to increase its nutritional value as animal feed. East studied the genetics and breeding not only of corn, but also tobacco and potatoes. And in 1995, Edward H. Lowe died. Lowe joined his father's company in Cassopolis, Michigan, selling industrial absorbents, including sawdust and absorbent clay called Fuller's Earth. In 1947, Lowe suggested the use of clay instead of ashes for his neighbor's cat box to avoid sooty cat prints. And he filled 10 bags with the clay and wrote on each one of them, "Kitty Litter," the beginning of one of the largest U.S. producers of cat box filler. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's a beautiful day. Let's talk first not about what the weather's going to be like over the weekend, but how much rainfall and how widespread and maybe what the wind conditions were like with the storm last night.
Yes, we had some thunderstorms in the area. In fact, I saw some flashes of lightning last night, and here in Champaign, we got about 0.3 inches out of what fell yesterday morning and then later last night between those two events there. And actually, some of the heavier rainfalls were to the west of us over by Springfield and maybe Bloomington, Peoria. That area had a little more rainfall than we did here. Things were starting to fall apart last night as that system moved across the state. But, so there was and there were some thunderstorms active in that. In fact, if you go to our neighbors to the north there, I think they actually had some tornadoes spotted in, up in Wisconsin. So very interesting evening there.
It was an interesting evening, and we're in for an interesting weekend, I take it, as well.
That's right. Tonight, there's about a 20% chance of isolated thunderstorms. So we get in tomorrow, and it goes up to 60% during the day and 70% at night. So probably if you got any outdoor activities tomorrow, you may want to plan around all that rainfall. You know, the amounts here are not don't look that impressive, but we do have at least the potential of getting about a 0.5 inch to maybe 0.75 inches out of all this rain, and probably some areas will get some even heavier amounts than that if they just happen to be underneath one of the thunderstorms that they're predicting. So yeah, this will be one of our wettest weekends that we've had in a long time.
And it's not going to be particularly cool. Actually, our temperatures look like they'll be pretty nice for a good part of the week this week. Do we get into the 60s, I guess, as we start through the week? That would be more closer to the norm?
That's right. Yes, we're going to, by Monday, it'll be in the upper 60s and the rest of the week in the low 70s. And that's about average for this time of year. You know, right now, for example, for today, the average high is 70 and the average low is 46. By the way, today we got up to 87. So that shows you how warm we are right now and how far above average we are. But yeah, if we get back to something close to the 70s, that'll be more typical for this time of year.
And finally, climatologically, how do we settle out for the summer months in the state of Illinois?
Well, you know, July was actually fairly mild, both in terms of temperature and precipitation, but we were definitely on the dry side for August and September. So if you look at those 3 months together, they're the sixth driest on record, which was preceded by the wettest January through June period. So we kind of flip-flopped back and forth between one extreme to the other, being very wet to very dry.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. He serves as the state climatologist. Joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, helps us wrap it up. Don't forget, you can visit our website at willag.org this evening after about 5 tonight, and we'll post Commodity Week with John Bondurant there. It airs on many of these radio stations, including our home radio station on Saturday, WILL, at 6 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great weekend.